Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide without the WBC straight up. Of course, we've had some issues with them. We thought that the fight that they put on a couple of weeks ago, of course, the 130-pound title fight, I believe, between the then-champion Oshaki Foster and Robinson Canseco, ended either criminally or ineptly. As far as the judges were concerned, the WBC didn't like what we said. Of course, we then said that maybe Mauricio Sulaiman should be replaced. But then you can't replace somebody in a family-run organization, okay? You just can't do it. It's like mom and pop. You just can't do it straight up. But we said those views. I mean, that's the way we felt. Tommy D, of course, Sir Thomas Dillenbooth and myself, the Sunday shot caller, and the WBC got upset. So be it what it is, I ain't nobody's bitch. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we've been doing this now come 40 years, September 2024. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever-so-modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer, so I know my way around the boxing ring. And without a doubt, of course, I've been all over the world, now 34 countries covering the sport of boxing since the 1980s. So I've been around a while. I'm older than dirt, but bottom line is we have a good show today. Of course, we'll spend some time with Sir Thomas Dillon, with the aforementioned Sunday shot caller. We'll talk about last night's fights, which, of course, included Jake Paul. And Jake Paul, be what he is, an attraction. They put 17,000 people in the seats last night. I mean, everybody's calling him a fraud, and Mike Perry, the guy that he fought, was an absolute fraud. This bare-knuckle guy couldn't hold up his hands. He couldn't spell fight if you put all the letters on a piece of paper. I mean, that's how inept he was. But the bottom line is they put 17,000 people in that arena. 17,000 people, okay? So you want to call it a fraud? 17,000 people is not a fraud. Straight up, they had a good time. Everybody went home happy. Amanda Serrano was a winner last night. I mean, she tore this girl absolutely apart. That was pretty scary. When Amanda gets rocking and rolling, I mean, she is the real deal. And of course, at one point in time, she was the best fighter pound for pound in the world of women's boxing, but I think she's gotten old. I think Cienesis Estrada, the 105-pound champion of the world, I think she is the best fighter pound for pound in the world of feminine boxing. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The impeccable one is in the house. Of course, talking about Mr. Bailey Peck, my executive producer for Sunday. We'll spend some time with Tommy D on the return. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
A lot of so-called fast food deals out there. But do any of them have the Wendy's Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, Crispy Fries, everyone's favorite nugs, and a drink for just $5 like Wendy's Biggie Bag? Nope. And that's why no other deals can be called the Wendy's Biggie Bag. That and a little thing called plagiarism. When the deal is as fresh as the meal, gotta be Wendy's.
Gotta be fresh.
Includes choice of JBC or crispy chicken sandwich with 4-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska, Hawaii, and California and via third-party delivery.
This report is sponsored by After School Alliance. A million people are rallying for after school as part of the 24th annual Lights On After School, organized by the After School Alliance. The event shines a light on the many ways after school programs engage children and youth by making learning fun and providing educational and enriching activities. After school programs are especially important as students recover from the pandemic, but funding shortfalls have left nearly 25 million kids without the after school programs their parents want for them. Quality after school programs keep kids safe, inspire them to learn, and give parents peace of mind. Alliance Executive Director, Jody Grant.
Every day, after-school programs across our country help students discover their talents, build their confidence, and foster their creativity through enrichment and academic supports. As we continue to recover from the pandemic, it's essential that many more students and families have access to these programs. This year, 8,000 Lights On after-school events will focus on the benefits after-school programs provide.
Visit www.afterschoolalliance.org to learn more about Lights On After School.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered. So why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law, and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 4125.
This is JD Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at betus.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to worldwidesharp@gmail.com and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The impeccable one, my producer extraordinaire for Sunday, just told me that Joe Biden's dropped out. He's dropped out of the race? That's what it says here.
I didn't think he was going to win anyway, but I guess he's done now, huh?
I guess he's done now. So are you running? I mean, that's why I'm bringing you on the air. Now, are you announcing your candidacy right now on the air?
No, I think maybe next time. I don't think I'm old enough yet.
You got a point there. I thought about that. You have to be 35 years old, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, 35 years old. Straight up, we wish Joe Biden the very best in his future. Wish the country the best in his future because, you know, as far as alternatives concern. Of course, I've met the alternative, and I never thought much of them. We won't get into that in depth. But straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Last night, of course, Jake Paul did his thing in front of 17,000 people. Him and Mike Perry, this MMA guy, this bare knuckle guy, got together and put 17,000 people in an arena. Okay, having boxed before and he had 17 people in the arena, I figure 17,000 is a significant statement, especially for both these guys. Of course, they're not really boxers. Jake Paul's an attraction. But then again, you know, Kenny Rainford, Sir Kenneth Rainford of the UK, told us yesterday that that he's a big hit over there in the UK as well. So I'm talking about Jake Paul. So Jake Paul being the YouTube freak or whatever, I don't know what it is. He's a boxer per se, but he's not a boxer per se because he really hasn't fought anybody that could box per se. And then he's fighting MMA guys for the most part. He's an attraction, and somehow he's conned people into thinking he could fight. Of course, he's supposed to fight Mike Tyson Cups, last night, but it's going to be like in November if that ever happens. But the bottom line is Jake Paul beat up this guy by the name of Mike Perry, who had never won a professional boxing match before in his life. He was 0-1. He became 0-2 real quick. And it was obvious to me when the guy moved around the ring, I'm talking about Mike Perry, he moved around the ring with his hands. I have never seen a guy more inept my entire life. As far as him being the street fighter, the bare knuckle champion, this kind of stuff, I couldn't believe it. Those guys must be really, really poor as far as talent's concerned because he had absolutely none. Straight up, he was a bum, and that's all there was to it. And you know what? Based on his background, I thought he had a shot going in. I thought he had a shot going in. You know what I mean? The guy's an MMA guy. The guy's a bare knuckle guy. And then I saw him throwing 1-2s with those boxing gloves he had on. I said to myself, you know, it looks like he could throw a decent 1-2, but he never threw it in the fight. He never angled himself up. He was square the entire time. So bottom line is I think we're spending too much time talking about him. But at the end of the day, Jake Paul is a winner. Of course, he fights Mike Tyson, or allegedly fights Mike Tyson sometime in in November. But the bottom line is, you know, last night, of course, Amanda Serrano was in action, the world featherweight champion, of course, now fighting at 140. She wants a rematch with Lori Taylor, of course, the Irish lattice, of course, that snagged that controversial nod over a couple of years ago. But the bottom line is they haven't been able to put that rematch back together. But last night, Amanda Serrano lit this girl up like the White House Christmas tree. I'm telling you, she's like, here's a girl who usually fights at 126, now fighting at 140, taking on a girl that was 14-1 with 13 knockouts. I mean, that was impressive, right? I said, Stevie Morgan, guess what? Stevie couldn't fight. Stevie couldn't lick a stamp if you wet her tongue. I mean, I'm telling you, it was a TKO in two, but I haven't seen a girl get annihilated like that, lit up like that in a long, long time. Amanda Serrano made a statement. Speaking of making a statement, Julio Cesar Chavez, he wasn't doing lines between rounds, okay? But he was obviously probably doing lines before the fight. I mean, this guy's got a bad cocaine habit. Everybody knows it. He's had it for years and the whole nine yards. Of course, they pull him out of rehab for these fights, of course. And he hasn't, I mean, last night he weighed in at 197 pounds the day before. 197 pounds. This is a guy that fought at one point in time was the WBC, wink, wink, 160-pound champion. I mean, legitimately, he was. Think about that. 160, now fighting at 197 or 200 pounds. Of course, a shell of his former self, 38 years old. Really, was he really that much when he was a kid? Yeah, he was. But let me tell you, when I first met him, he didn't even shave. I met him in San Jose, California. He didn't even shave. He was like 17 years old, didn't shave yet. He had a couple of pro fights, this and that. And, of course, he was going to be the second coming of Sugar Ray, of Julio Cesar Chavez. That didn't happen, of course, but he did win the WBC title. But last night, him clowning around with, you know, an MMA guy. That, come on, man. He couldn't beat an MMA guy. He couldn't beat a guy that couldn't lick a snap if he wet his tongue. Uriah Hall, he just couldn't. Uriah, like, moved around like a robot. He threw punches once in a great while. He threw some punches. And when he threw punches, they landed. Why didn't he throw more punches? Who knows? I thought, looking at the fight from my perspective, I thought he went in the tank. I thought that Uriah Hall just went in the tank on this one, and somebody paid him not to perform. That's the way it looked to me. Now, do I see a conspiracy behind every spitty performance, spit with an H? No, but that one I do. I think Julio Cesar Chavez, they're trying to set him up, of course, with a future date with the aforementioned Jake Paul, who they call him the problem child. He's more like the problem solver because everybody that fights him who had financial problems makes money afterwards. That's all there is to it. He makes money. Now, the fight on the card that really stood out for me was, you know, I often say, impeccable one, that the guy never won a minute of a round, okay? I mean, didn't win a minute. This guy, Luis Body, didn't win 30 seconds of a round last night. I mean, didn't. He was getting beat up and beat up and beat up and beat up and beat up. And evidently, Ashtoff Silva decided he would get cocky, made a move, stepped in, and he got caught with two punches, and it was all over. I mean, he fell face first. When they fall face first, they ain't getting up. Bottom line is, I think it was a knockout of the year, and you got to give this guy all kinds of props because he was getting beat up. I mean, didn't win a minute. He didn't win a 10-second exchange in this fight. And before it was over, and he was a TKO winner. But at the end, a KO winner. At the end, man, that's talk about pulling magic out of a bottle. Bottom line is, he didn't win 30 seconds, 15 seconds, 20 seconds. Never landed a significant blow that I can remember. But the bottom line was, at the end, he was a knockout winner. So he owned him. Of course, Amanda was probably the VIP last night, knocking out Stevie Morgan in the second round. Of course, that sets her up for a big fight with Lori Taylor. If Lori Taylor and her can get together, because Lori Taylor is trying to entertain other options. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Is the impeccable one ready?
I'm ready.
You're ready? Is Tommy D ready?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Sir Thomas Dillamuth, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Pedro. How are you?
Pretty good. Coming off that big party last night, the big celebration party. Were you at the Ritz?
No, no. We had some Ritz crackers, but we weren't at the Ritz.
Let me tell you a good Ritz story. When you think of the Ritz, you think of like a 5-star hotel, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, in San Bruno, California, they got the Ritz Motel. A motel. You drive up there with your car. I'm not kidding you, man. So I told this girl we were staying at the Ritz, okay? And the bottom line is she was all pumped up. I don't even think there is a Ritz in San Francisco, okay? So when I took her there, she was all bummed out for a little while. You got to be kidding me. I said, babe, it's the Ritz. And it's still going. The Ritz, it was like, back in the day, it was 40, 42 bucks or something like that. But I don't think it's 42 bucks anymore. You know, bottom line is, am I telling too much here? Yes, I think I am. Let's talk about. Go on.
Did she go through with it? Did she stay? Or did she do a 180 and leave?
I was driving.
So then she stood. It didn't matter.
They didn't have Uber back then. They'd have, you know, a girl could get, I'll call an Uber, because back in the day you call a cab and take an hour.
Yeah, it's true.
Call a cab and take an hour to get there. I mean, you call an Uber, I mean, you can talk some smack to some dude, get out of his car, and get an Uber a minute and a half later.
That's true.
And be gone. Anyway, let's talk about the attraction, Jake Paul. 17,000 seats last night, and it sounds like a good part of that crowd was there to see the bare knuckle guy.
Yeah, because I think it was in his hometown in Florida, from Tampa,
yep.
Florida.
Yep.
You know, and I think a lot of people want to just go to see Jake Paul lose, but unfortunately that did not happen. And at the same time, it was in Florida, and you know, Amanda is in Florida a lot as well, so mm-hmm. you know, maybe they wanted to see Amanda Serrano as well. So.
Okay, all right, I'm going to have to tell you this. You know, Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD. You know what he said about Mike Perry last night?
What'd he say?
He was a live dog. You know what I'm saying? No. Afterwards, he's just a dog.
That's it. The guy did not know. He had no clue what he was doing in there.
Clue? How do you spell clue? C-L-U-E. Put it in like 48 font. I mean, I'm kidding. He couldn't hold up his hands. I was like, just based on his resume, the fact that he was this bare knuckle champion, I said to myself, you know, he'll be able to hold up his hands in front of Jake Paul and not run and anything. Say, man, Jake Paul pounded on him like, you know, like he was a Congo drum.
Yeah, he made Jake Paul look like he was Ali. He made him look like, you know, a jab, and like he was moving and boxing, and he made him look like a world great.
Okay. Chavez Jr., was he doing lines between? Do you think there was cocaine in the water? I mean, because you know he's got his coke problem. So, I mean, maybe he was drinking coke, but not Coca-Cola. Anyway, bottom line is, they should take him out and shoot him. Just saying, like an old horse. You know, like an old horse. No, when a horse is of no use anymore, back in the old days, back in the Western days, God didn't know this was primitive, but they take the horse out and they shoot him.
Wouldn't go that far, but he's been embarrassed so many times. I mean, you know, coming up as the son of a legend, you know, his father was a legend, you know, but he's just disappointment after disappointment. You know, when he lost to that MMA fighter in a boxing match,
yeah,
who was like two times older than him. I can't get his name.
Anderson Silva.
I mean, that was an embarrassing within itself. I mean, he should just give it up. He's made good money. I mean, I don't know why he wants to continue with the embarrassments, you know. So,
you know, here, you know, it's really tough being the son of anybody. Of course, I'm following in the same footsteps as them. But the bottom line is, I wouldn't be. You know, I'll take that back. Let's look at it this way. At least there ain't no pictures of him in women's clothing.
That's true. That's a good point.
I mean, you know, unlike Oscar De La Hoya. And you know what? You know, sort of dogging Oscar. And I shouldn't have dogged Oscar like I just did out of the blue. But the bottom line is, every time somebody gets in an argument with Oscar, they bring up the cross-dressing.
They do. But you know what? Oscar's been really good. He's got this new thing. Like, every Thursday he comes out, what does he call it, Clapback Thursday? And he makes a video and he goes at people. Like, so I guess he doesn't care. It doesn't bother him.
All right.
You know, All right, he may come after you next, Pedro.
Yeah. Let's roll to a break. Of course, we're talking about Oscar De La Hoya, the Golden Boy, 1992 Olympic gold medalist at one point in time, the best fighter pound for pound in boxing. I don't care what anybody says. He fought everybody. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And yes, he dressed like a girl.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
In my humble estimation, I think when you develop the judgment that when you decided that kid's had enough that day, then stop it. And I guess my final comment about that would be the great Arthur McCanty Sr. stopped a fight one time, and the kid looked at him, and, you know, these fighters are professional athletes. They stop. I mean, they get hurt. They're absolutely helpless. You stop and hold them for a couple of seconds. They recover like that. And the next thing you know, they're looking at you going, geez, I want to fight some more, because that's their nature. They're warriors. And this kid looked at Arthur McCanty and said, come on, ref, let me go back. I got some more. And Arthur McCanty said the perfect statement when he said, I know you do, son, but not tonight.
Referee Pat Russell talking about stopping a fight. Talking about stopping the fight, holy cow. I mentioned a little bit last night, Lucas Prince Body, now 17 and zips, 15 KOs, of course, sort of spectacular come from behind, six-round knockout over highly regarded Ashton H2O Silva. He's now 11-1 with 9 KOs. When's the last time you saw a knockout like that?
It's been a minute. I mean, a knockout like that, that was the first time I seen it where the other guy was winning every second of every round and then got knocked out. But I haven't seen something like that since Pacquiao got knocked out by Marquez.
Yeah.
I mean, face first into the canvas.
Roberto Duran and Tommy Hearns.
Yep, that was face first. Sergio Martinez knocking out Paul Williams.
Speaking of Paul Williams, of course, he was messed up in the motorcycle accident. I saw a couple of pictures of him a couple of weeks ago. He's still slim, but man, you know, don't go into intersections unless you know what's happening on a motorcycle. Diego Corrales did that and died.
Yeah, that's very sad. And, you know, he was supposed to fight Canelo. Like, that was right before his Canelo fight.
Interesting. You know? But as far as – I'm famous for saying he didn't win in a minute. But let's be honest, this guy didn't win a second, did he?
A second, yeah. He got totally dominated, and then I guess he got careless and – you know, Lucas saw an opening and, you know, two shots and the fight was over. You know, that was the total 180. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. He was dominant the whole fight. And then, you know, and that's boxing. That's why we love boxing. You know, that's the beauty of the sport.
Wow, there's no doubt about that. That was, I mean, I haven't seen, I probably only seen maybe a half a dozen guys fall like that in 40 or 50 years of watching boxing. I kid you not. I mean, it just doesn't happen that often. And to be concussed, and I'm talking about concussed to the point where you are unconscious and snoring on the way down.
Yeah, that's now. Let me my question to you. Now he's 20 years old, 21 years old. Is he done? Does he recover from this?
I don't think so. I put it this way. I don't think so. But then again, you know, I mean, stranger things have happened, I guess. But I don't think anybody getting lit up like that's going to come back to you.
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, he's very young, and you know, he's probably never experienced anything like that. You know that.
You know what?
That has to change something in the mind.
But Tommy D, once you do experience something like that, it's like a life changer. Okay. I mean, yeah. me and the Impeccable, when we were talking earlier about football and how he knows guys that he went to school with that are all messed up from football. I mean, punch drunk from football. Okay. Those are the guys that just like some of these boxers I see at some of these old meetings, some of my old drug addict friends that smoked a lot of PCP, but they'll see you. And then they'll say to you, hey, man, it's good to see you, blah, 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 blah. And then you'll see them like a few days later, and then they don't remember seeing you a few days before that. And then you have to, it's like, hey, man, how's your mom? Oh, my mom died 15 years ago. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You have to go through the same conversation again. They don't remember it. Football, boxing, it's unforgiving.
Yeah, it really is. It's unfortunate, but that's what you sign up for when you get in that ring.
You know, I don't know. I never signed up for brain damage. I didn't. I mean,
no, I mean, you know what I mean.
I know, but here's what I remember. But here's what the one time I was really, really hurt in a boxing ring. I was seriously, seriously hurt. I looked across the ring, and there was like eight guys, and then there was three or four referees, and there was like 15 people in the ring. It was all supposed to be like three, me, the ref, and the other guy. Okay, so I when the ref said to me, "Want to continue?" I wanted to say hell no, but I said no, definitely not, because I knew definitely at that point in time, I mean, I was going to get killed.
Wow.
Imagine looking at eight guys. I mean, imagine looking across the ring. Eight guys, not two or three, eight of them.
Yeah, that's.
It was like crazy. Tommy, it was like being in a gang fight. It was, and you're all by yourself. He hit me so hard. Ernie Chavez, who ended up fighting Meldrick Taylor later as a professional, went to distance with Meldrick, I believe. In fact, he did. I told Meldrick before the fight, listen, this guy can really punch. You got to look out for him, this and that. And Meldrick told me, Pedro, let me, and started ragging on me, this and that, in front of the Duvas, all this kind of stuff, ragging him like he didn't know what I was talking about, right? So after the fight, Meldrick Taylor had an ice pack up to his head at the press conference going, and who was that that told me earlier he could punch? Yeah, it was me. Bottom line is Ernie could punch. Enough of my own stories. Yeah, let's just talk about last night, though. As far as boxing is concerned, I thought it was a good night. And people will say to me, no, probably not. No. Anytime you put 17,000, I'm going to say it again, 17,000 people. I mean, I attracted 17 people, okay? So I could imagine 17,000 people. Mike Perry, I don't care how Amanda Serrano's big down there in Florida, as you put it. I don't care how they did it. I think that's a significant accomplishment for putting 17,000 people in a house. And guess what? He hasn't had anything short of a sellout in any arena he's been in, has he?
As far as I know, no, he hasn't. I mean, he's done well in almost all of his events. You know, even after the last event, what was the last event? Was the Puerto Rican event, I believe. And, you know, Amanda didn't even fight in that card. So.
Okay. Did you happen to catch Junto Nakatani this weekend?
I did see it. It was short, but I did see it. You know, another first round knockout for Nakatani.
That was a dive!
You thought it was a dive?
I thought he took a stone cold dive. I thought that was a stone cold dive. Listen, I mean, not a lead body shot like that early in the fight. No way. No. I thought he just took a dive. Here's what's up. He sort of reminded me of the guy last week that tried to go out early in the first round with that low blow. Remember? Tried to go out with that low blow. I thought he was just trying to. I mean, you're still going to get paid. Might as well get out. Try to get out here early.
Oh yeah, against Boots Ennis. Yeah, you're right. And then and we thought that, you know, he probably was not gonna, you know, continue with the fight.
Exactly. Same
David Avanesian. Yes. David Avanesian, right. You did say that.
Yeah. Speaking of Boots Ennis, before we go to the break, got a couple minutes. I wasn't impressed with him. I mean, you can say what you want and the people can rage about him being from Philly, all this kind of good stuff.
Yeah, but Pedro, if you go back to what you said earlier, I mean, they filled that arena. They did well. I think they almost sold out. You know, I mean, I don't think it held as much as the arena in Tampa. I think they did about 14,000.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, he sells. I mean, he looked good to the fans' point of view. He did what you know, what they wanted him to do. I don't believe he will fight like that consistently. I think he fought like that just to, you know, to appease the fans and get the guy out of there.
He looked like, don't take this the wrong way, man, but he looked like a lanky black dude that fought square.
Well, but that's because he was trying to knock the guy out. I mean, the guy couldn't really punch, really, and, you know, he went for it. I don't believe you'll see him fight like that against, you know, better competition. Let's put it that way.
Okay, who's the biggest bum of recently that stepped up? The Artem guy? Was he the worst?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, and then now he fought Crawford and now Boots. You know, he's like a fill-in. I mean, that 147 division is just not – there's nobody there. I mean, you got guys as Brian Norman. You got Mario Barrios.
Well, time out. 147, I thought Crawford was a champion. What's he doing? I mean, Boots said this is like the number one contender. Aren't you supposed to fight the number one contender?
Yeah, but you see that Crawford in 2 weeks is going to be fighting for a 154 title.
So are Crawford and Canelo holding hands and taking walks together?
They might be because they're waiting to see if the Sheik or Turkey will give them the money for them to fight each other.
Hmm. Speaking of the Sheik, of course, he's fronting up money for the Tyson Fury Oleg Usyk rematch. Is Tyson Fury just an old dude that can't take punches anymore?
It very well could be. I mean, we've seen him hurt in multiple fights already. I mean, that trilogy with Wilder took a lot out of him, I believe.
Yeah, don't doubt about that. We're going to roll to a break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Hour number two, I'm going to bring up, I'm probably going to air an old interview with Ray Leonard. The reason I want to air it is that I got into a beef with a girl over a term in boxing. She's a boxing manager. I won't mention her name or a promoter, but she calls guys my fighters, and she's white, and she has black fighters. I told her that wasn't cool. I'll get to that after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Controversy on Ring Talk? Never.
Total Wireless has made the Totally Keep Up With You. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And for less than $30 a month, we make your phone your ride or die. Switch now and pick a free 5G phone with qualified plan purchase. And your fourth line at no additional cost. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
There are a lot of so-called fast food deals out there. But do any of them have the Wendy's Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, Crispy Fries, everyone's favorite nugs, and a drink for just $5 like Wendy's Biggie Bag? Nope. And that's why no other deals can be called the Wendy's Biggie Bag. That and a little thing called plagiarism. When the deal is as fresh as the meal, gotta be Wendy's.
Gotta be fresh.
Includes choice of JBC or crispy chicken sandwich with 4-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska, Hawaii, and California via third-party delivery.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm one of those people that's so smart that I'm uncomfortable in this world. And I'm scared to live. I'm not scared to live, but it's scary out here. God damn. I know how flimsy this is. I can see through the I can see the truth. There's an animal inside each and every one of you. It's not good. It's real. Listen, I was looking at the paper the other day. I'm not making this up. There's a serial rapist in Houston. There's nothing funny about serial rape, but what is noteworthy about this particular rapist is that all of his victims have been men. Enjoy your evening.
The only knock I have on Dave Chappelle is that he brought Elon Musk up on stage here in San Francisco and nobody shot him. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside look at the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Hey, nobody tells it like it is like Chappelle. I mean, for the most part. Then he got hooked up with Elon Musk. You know, they're both like billionaires, I guess, so they hang out together. But the bottom line is, I'm not an Elon Musk fan. No way, no how. Now, back to Nakatani. I just watched this this fight again during the break with Vincent Astrolabio, who's now 19-4 with 14 KOs out of the Philippines. I think it was a stone cold. I look at it again. Tommy, that punch didn't go in enough. It barely touched him. And I think that was a stone cold dive. It was a way to get out of there without getting hurt.
Maybe so. I mean, I didn't think so. But, I mean, maybe so. They fought in Japan. I don't know where the other guy was from.
I mean, here's what's up.
There was an upset on that card.
It sets up, but this is what it sets up. Think about this: boxing politics on the back burner. Okay, it sets up a fight possibly with the 122-pound champion. I'm talking about Noah Inouye, of course, 27-0, 24 KOs, the king, the god of boxing in the land of the sun, Japan, of course. And now you've got Junto Nakatani, who's 28-0 with 21 knockouts coming off that first round knockout. Laugh over the Filipino. The bottom line is, you know, that's the super fight. You know what? I would be willing to go to Japan for that one. That would be something, I think.
Well, he would have to move up in weight, but isn't the monster Inoue's brother fights in that same weight class? Maybe fight him first.
His brother
is Takuma Inoue or something like that's his name.
Yeah, but
he's like 20-1.
Bailey's better than him, though.
Yeah, but maybe that builds it up. I would, you know, maybe he goes after him. That's in the same weight class, and then it builds it up for him to move up and fight his brother, the monster.
Okay, I'm going to run the top 10 down to you here, pound for pound, as far as boxing scenes concerned. Of course, one of the leading boxing websites, Oleg Usyk, 22 and zip. Of course, the number one guy, as far as they're concerned, the world heavyweight champion in the minds of many. Terrence Crawford, 40-0, 31 KOs, of course, out of Omaha, Nebraska, the boxing hotbed that it isn't. Noah Inouye, the aforementioned, 27-0, 24 KOs. Number four is Saul Canelo Alvarez. Canelo Alvarez, 61-2 with two draws and 39 KOs. Number five is Jesse Rodriguez. Number six, with an asterisk here, is Dmitry Bivol, 23-0, 12 KOs. Of course, he's going to take on number seven, Artur Bitabev, 20-0 with 20 KOs. Number eight is some people think he's the face of boxing right now. Gervonta Davis, 30-0, 28 KOs. Number 9 is the Teofimo Lopez, the takeover. I don't think he belongs there, but the bottom line is number 10 is Junto Nakatani as far as these top 10 pound-for-pound guys is concerned. Now, I've got an issue with Bivol being behind Canelo Alvarez, saying he, like, gangster-slapped him about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's crazy. But you look at this whole pound-for-pound list. Jesse Rodriguez looks like a star. Inouye looks like a star. The rest of these guys, Gervonta Davis looks like a star. The rest of these guys, Junto Nakatani's got star potential. For the most part, though, the other guys are just laying in wait for the big payday.
Even Bud Crawford?
Yeah, look what he's laying in wait for the big. I mean, come on, man. If he really wanted to do something, he would have stayed at 147 and took care of Boots. I mean, he would have made a statement. He hasn't. The fight with Errol Spence wasn't enough of a statement because, you know, I got more fight in me than Errol Spence had.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, it was a unification. They both were champions.
Bro, he had brain damage. There's absolutely no doubt about it. He was brain damaged. I mean, and plus, he was dead at the weight. If ever there was a guy that was a corpse in a boxing ring, it was Errol Spence against Terrence Crawford.
So does that mean that you think that Fundora is going to finish Spence for good when they fight?
Fundora, they've got some slick guys behind them. Samson Lukowicz, I think, is behind him. I think that they purposely had Keith Thurman pull out of that fight with Tim Zhu. Listen, Sock hit me up to this the first time when he said, you know, maybe there was a little game going on there. So what do you mean? So, you know, Tim Zhu getting a late night, a last minute replacement like 15 days before the fight, and the guy's 6'5". I mean, there's no way you can be able to prepare for a guy that's 6'5" in less than 2 weeks, because in the last 2 weeks before a fight, you're really not doing a whole lot of serious training.
Yeah, that's true. But he was looking good in the first couple of rounds. Nobody would have seen the cut coming.
He was looking good until he got cut in the second round.
Yeah.
So he was looking good for the first two rounds. But from that point forward, it was bleak for the... In fact, as we talked about it before, the corner not knowing their job and how to stop the fight,
yeah,
and keep the guy undefeated, the referee not giving a spit or not knowing, and the ringside doctor, I mean, what was he thinking? I mean, if ever there was a fight that should have been stopped for blood, that was it. It looked like some blade job from Abdul the Butcher back in the day.
It really did. I mean, and it should have been stopped. And, you know, that's Zeus corner's fault. You know, they did him a bad service by not having that fight stopped. There was no way he could continue fighting like that, and it proved it. I mean, Fundora ended up fighting and just jabbing, keeping the fight on the outside, which he does early on, and then usually he gets careless, you know, in the late rounds. But mm-hmm. he was disciplined, and Zhu couldn't see. He couldn't do anything.
Yeah. So here's a fight I'm proposing. Nakatani and Jesse Rodriguez. Jesse Rodriguez moving from 115 to 118, because I don't think he can get too much more accomplished at 115. Do you?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a great fight. I would love to see that fight. You know, and then, where do they have that fight? I don't know.
Japan? Yeah, in Japan. Let him fight in Japan. And let Nonoa Inoue fight the winner.
I'm all with that. I'm all for that as well. Right? That means Bam Bam, if he shall win, which I believe he will, he would have to go up two weight classes.
Okay, yeah. Speaking of weight classes, Lomachenko, of course, the one-time undisputed world lightweight champion, Vasyl Lomachenko, former two-time world amateur champion. I think he only lost one amateur fight in his 400-fight career. But the bottom line is, they were talking about him and Gervonta Davis being set for November at the MGM or one of the MGM properties in Las Vegas. And then I saw a report yesterday that Lomachenko says, yeah, I'm not really interested. I'm sort of spending time with my family. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that really means, Tommy?
That's a duck.
No. It means you're not paying me enough money.
Oh, okay.
There's not enough money involved yet. In other words, I mean, Lomachenko wanted to fight. He said he wanted to fight. But obviously the money put forth by the promoters thus far is not enough. I mean, you know, if you're going to do something like that, get paid magically.
No, absolutely. I agree. They should get paid. That's a mega fight. That's a pay-per-view fight. They should get paid. You got two promoters that would be involved, right? Because you'd have Bob and whoever promotes Davis.
Now, I watched Jake Paul's fight last night at a strip club up the street here called the El Condor. Of course, the impeccable one is he's got lifetime pass there. I just mentioned his name. They let me in. Is that cool? When you can mention your own producer, say, hey, listen, man, Bailey Peck sent me. Bailey sent you? Got a table right here. Get out the way from Mr. Fernandez. Get out the way. No, Bailey. I mean, seriously, man, that's how much he's got it down at the strip club here. The Condor Club is the most famous strip club in the city. Carol Doden,
I can't wait
perfect
to go visit you over there.
Pardon me?
I can't wait to go visit you over there.
But the bottom line is, I remember going in there as a cop. Check this out. Transformation. I was a cop in the 80s, and I went in there because they used to rip off the patrons all the time. In other words, you get free admission to a strip club, right? And they would charge you like $42 for a drink.
Okay. Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
All right, a lot of unsuspecting guys from like bum duck Idaho didn't know that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It was bad for tourism. So I would go down there. I learned this as a recruit, as a rookie. I went down there, and the guy's bill was $327 for, get this, for four drinks.
Wow. Right? Oh,
yeah. I'm in a field training program. They're training me on how to be a police officer. So the FTO says to me, how are you going to handle this? And I said, Okay. I said, how much is three drinks usually? Man, maybe five, maybe $3 or $4 a piece back then, maybe $5 each. I tell you what, you give them $20, we're out of here. And the owner goes, aah! Screaming at the top of his lungs, bottom line is, he got his $20 and he left. So when I got on that beat there, it was called the 41 beat, Adam 41, three Adam 41. Yeah, when I got on that beat, they said they decided they weren't going to burn the patrons anymore. Of course, when I left, they partied.
Wow.
They did. Come on, man. $350 for four drinks?
That's ridiculous.
Bailey, how can you get away with charging people like that? Hey, listen. If they let you in the place with the guy's name, he must be getting the cut, right?
Not that much these days.
No, are you sure?
Yeah, no, not anymore.
Not anymore. See that, man? He was shaking him down. He's not doing it anymore. Let's go back to Bivol, though. Bivol rated below Canelo Alvarez. Pretty scary as far as these pound-for-pound ratings are concerned. Who comes up with this stuff?
I don't know, but that doesn't make any sense. You beat the guy, and you still rank lower than him in the pound-for-pound ratings. It makes
soundly.
No sense at all.
You beat him soundly.
Soundly, yeah, exactly. I mean, they basically spotted Canelo the first four rounds. Right, he went in down 4-0 and did not even throw a punch yet, and he still ended up winning the fight because I thought he won almost 10 rounds out of 12, and still they rate him underneath Canelo in the ratings. It's ridiculous.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you some WBC questions here because you know you and I are so tight with the WBC these days. Okay, all right, the World Boxing Council or the World of Bunko and Chicanery, call it what you want. You got your choice there, but the bottom line is, you know, the fight, of course, that we screened about, the Oshaki Foster and Robinson Kosego fight, they haven't issued any public statements on the fight. I mean, as bad as that fight was, somebody said to me, well, you know, the anniversary of Whitaker and Chavez was a couple of weeks ago, blah, 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 1995 or something like that. You know, that wasn't that bad as a ripoff as the other night. I mean, you don't go 11-1, 11-11, Tommy, 11-1 and lose a fight.
Lose a fight, you lose your title. It was a title fight, and you know it's ridiculous.
And the sanctioning body doesn't say anything. And they said we're going to look at him as far as ranking him is concerned. That was their only statement was concerned. They're going to look at him, so they're going to like put him number one or something. Who cares? They screwed him.
They did, but he should be number one. But for them to even say that they're questioning it is a joke within itself. To question and say, well, we're thinking about putting him, you know, still number one. No, he is the number one. He should be the champion, right? You gave Robson Conceição four opportunities to win a world title, and then you gifted him the title, and now you're telling us that they're thinking about putting Oshaki as number one contender.
Are you implying that Robinson Conceição has dirty pictures of somebody in the WBC?
I didn't say it. You did, but, you know, it could be.
I mean, nobody gets four bites at the apple, do they?
Nope. Unless it's a very big apple, maybe. But no, that it's crazy, you know. And four chances, and he lost all four opportunities. Even though I thought he won against Valdez, but you know, four opportunities, he threw up a stinker. He didn't take the title from the champion. And they gifted him the championship. It's a joke.
Okay, last question here for the for Tommy D. Of course, Sir Thomas Dillamuth, got to get his stage name out there. bottom line is, William Zepeda knocked out somebody a fortnight ago, and he became the number one contender in the WBC. And they anointed him. They told Shakur Stevenson 3 days after the fight that he had to fight William Zepeda. In 3 days, they made Shakur Stevenson fight the number one contender. Now, on the flip side, David Benavidez has been waiting 3 years.
3 years and no shot. Right? And then Zepeda, I believe they made him number one in other sanctionings too, because De La Hoya is talking about that he doesn't have, you know, they don't have to fight Shakur. They might fight somebody else. Yeah. So,
anyway,
who knows what's going to happen there?
All right, pound for pound, Shakur Stevenson's stock value dropped, didn't it?
I think it definitely dropped. Not that he's not a good fighter, but you know, performance wise, he didn't live up to expectations in his last fight.
All right. Anyway, you had a big party last night for your daughter. Of course, she's going off to college. Congratulations to you as a super dad, the super mom. You know, without mom, you couldn't get it done. Bottom line is you guys have a good tag team going. Continued success, young man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you, Pedro. Thank you.
Sir Thomas Dillamuth on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently? And now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
That is just a fact of life.
Get this. Last night's pay-per-view numbers obviously aren't in yet. I talked to the Jake Paul card, of course. But I got to tell you, I didn't pay for it. I went to the Condor Club up the street. Nobody I know paid for this fight. Everybody watched it. Nobody paid for it. What am I saying? Piracy is an all-time high, without a doubt. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. And hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Of course, we come back at 6 minutes after 12 or 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Eastern Time. It'll be hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I'm going to go back in time. I'm wearing this shirt. It's a green shirt. It's from Newman's Gym back in San Francisco, of course. It was Newman's Gym that started boxing here in 1927. At one point in time, it was the oldest boxing gym in the United States, but they closed it. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about five fighters that came from Newman's Gym, not me included, but the bottom line is we'll talk about five fighters that came from Newman's Gym. And of course, we'll go down the entire boxing schedule, talk about some results I didn't get to, and a couple of opinions I need to drop here and there. But the bottom line is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide coming up after the break. And of course, Salvador Sanchez. Wow. Let's talk about the fact that the last fight he ever had, of course, was July 21st, 1982, was a TKO win in 15 over Azuma Nelson, the former, the future great, of course. One judge had, Al Reed had, one judge had Azuma Nelson ahead at that one point in time, and the other two judges had Sanchez ahead. Of course, Sanchez died soon thereafter in a car accident where he was decapitated by, take this out, he went out, hey, impeccable one, he went out to get some leg action, you know, because he's training, right, and he's going out to see his girlfriend. Right, and he wakes up at his girlfriend's house at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and realizes his trainers are going to be waking him up in a half hour to run, so he can go back to camp. So he rushes back to training camp and rushes into the back of a chicken truck and kills himself. took off his head straight up. That is Salvador Sanchez. May he rest in peace. Stay tuned for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Twitch.tv, of course, and the various sports outlets via the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Sports Byline USA News, I'm Alex Dorfler.
And I'm Ben Murphy.
The Los Angeles Clippers are sending guard Russell Westbrook a second-round pick swap and cash to the Utah Jazz in a sign-and-trade agreement for guard Chris Dunn. The Jazz and Westbrook are expected to agree on a contract buyout, and he's expected to sign with the Denver Nuggets once clearing waivers. This would be the second time in less than 2 years Westbrook would be waived by the Utah Jazz and has still never played a game for them. Westbrook, the future Hall of Famer, played for the Clippers for only two seasons where he averaged a career-low 11.1 points per game.
The WNBA is set to receive $2.2 billion over the next 11 years in a new TV rights deal. They will piggyback off the NBA's new deals with Disney, NBC, and Amazon. The value of this new deal is more than triple what the league's current deal is. The WNBA currently gets $60 million per year. After 2025, when their current deal ends, the new deal will earn them over $200 million annually.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
Nope.
Okay, Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right, Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay, no worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
WNBA superstar Caitlin Clark sets WNBA and Indiana Fever franchise record. In a loss against the Dallas Wings, Clark had 19 assists, a single-game record. The single-game assist record was previously held by Courtney Vandersloot, who had 18 in a game last season. Clark also set the single-game rookie record, passing Taisha Pinheiro, who set the record with 16 in 1998. Clark also overpassed Fever's single-season assist record with 202 in only 23 games. After this historic performance, Clark's odds for Rookie of the Year have jumped from minus 600 to minus 2,000.
Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu have both rejected offers to participate in the three-point contest this year. Clark has the record for most three-pointers in women's college basketball history with 548, while Ionescu currently owns the best three-point contest score of all time with 37 points, shooting 25 for 27 in a single round. This is Sports Byline USA News.
Sports in 60. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. The baseball season resumes this weekend, and as a trade deadline looms at month's end, one of the surprises to date are the Boston Red Sox. Alex Cora has this team shooting for the AL East title, and why not? Baltimore's not running away and hiding as they did last season, and the Yankees continue to go sideways over the past month and a half. Sox pitching odometers are ready to turn over, however, and that should be priority one. Several candidates exist, including former Red Sox Nathan Eovaldi of the Texas Rangers. The question is, can Texas win a weak division and then go deep? And speaking of Cora, his contract is up at season's end, and will that be a distraction come fall? He's a big part of this Sox resurgence, and it's reminiscent of when John Farrell took Boston all the way in 2013 after the Bobby Valentine experiment failed miserably in 2012. Can history repeat itself? Sports in 60, presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
NFL first overall pick Caleb Williams signs a four-year, $39 million fully guaranteed contract with the Bears. The contract also includes a $25 million signing bonus. In college, Williams won the 2022 Heisman with the USC Trojans. Williams that season set school records in passing yards and touchdowns. The Bears hope that Williams will be able to bring that success to Chicago.
The Bears' ninth overall pick, standout Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze, has officially signed his rookie contract. The contract is a four-year, $22.7 million fully guaranteed deal with a fifth-year team option. Odunze led college football in 2024 with 1,640 yards on 17.8 yards per catch.
Have a good day.
And remember, you're listening to Sports Byline USA News. I'm Ben Murphy.
And I'm Alex Dorfler.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, who am I? I'm just some guy that's been sitting here for like almost four decades. Straight up, I started the show like I was 5 years old. Of course, 40 years has passed, and we are knocking out all bums 40 years later. Bottom line is, my name is Pedro Fernandez, and welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, this hour we'll be doing a whole lot of storytelling. The reason why I'm doing some storytelling is that Newman's Gym, this T-shirt that I'm wearing, of course, from Newman's Gym, of course, it was a boxing gym that started back in 1927. In fact, when Muhammad Ali was out here for the 1960, he was Cassius Clay then. When he was out here for the 1960 Golden Glove Nationals, which he won at the Cow Palace, which is an arena that I fought in a little bit later. And the bottom line is, when Ali was out here, he fell in love with Flores gloves. Ray Flores was a glove maker down there in Burlingame, California. Ray used to make boxing gloves for me. In fact, he made perfect gloves for me. I couldn't use them in the ring, but I used them for bag gloves and sparring and that kind of good stuff. But the bottom line is, he was premier glove maker until Everlast came along and gave Muhammad Ali all kinds of money. So he had all kinds of money and he had to take the sponsorship, but that's the reason why Flores gloves are not in with Muhammad Ali and Everlast gloves were. So straight up, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Newman's Gym and the fact that I'll go back in time and talk about five fighters and where they are now. Jimmy Lester, he was considered world class. Johnny Nava, of course, he was the pride of Pacifica. Pat Lawler fought three world champions and beat all three. Roberto Duran, Rene Arredondo, and Wilfred Benitez, of course, my former sparring partner. Abel Santana and JT Walker. We'll talk about those five guys in particular on this show. Of course, where they are now, what happened to them, what their careers were like, and the ups and downs of being a professional boxer. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The impeccable one is in the other room. Bailey Peck, my executive producer for Sunday, of course, calls the shots here. If anything goes wrong, we blame him. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More Ring Talk after the break. Stay tuned.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered. So why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law, and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently? And now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I didn't duck nobody. I was colorful. I predicted the rounds. I was bigger than boxing. My fights are seen all over the world. I fought Ugly Joe Frazier 3 times. I fought Ken Norton 3 times and sat through Mandingo twice. I was big in the box. Every place I go, they know me. I go to Bangladesh, they yell Ali. Ali, I go to Africa, they yell Ali Bambaya. I go to Russia, I see Brezhnev in person. Carter can't get him on the phone. And at the age of 36, I'm 36 years of age. I'm still pretty. Ain't that something? Not a mark on my face. Ain't that something? 36 years of age, I'm still fast. They say I'm slowing down. You know, they say I'm slow. I'm so fast, I can turn out the lights in my bedroom, be in the bed before the room gets dark.
Billy Crystal doing his thing for Muhammad Ali. I think that was Ali's 36th or 37th birthday. Of course, he would fight one more time against Larry Holmes. Of course, that was a tragedy, a disaster in the making. Of course, Muhammad Ali taking drugs given by a Dr. Williams before the fight. Of course, the fight took place October 2nd, 1980. Caesar's Palace outdoors, 14,000 people, sold out crowd, no doubt about that. I mean, it was packed. Everybody thought that Muhammad Ali had one more fight left, and well, he didn't because he was old. And, you know, guys get old. Larry Holmes was young, strong, fast, all that kind of good stuff. So it was Holmes' fight to win. But Ali, in order to try to look good and fight cosmetically, he took some drug called Thyrolar because they tried to tell me he had a thyroid condition. Dr. Williams told him he had a thyroid condition. He didn't have any thyroid problems. What Thyrolar did was it took weight off you. It took excess weight off you, and it did it fast. So Ali weighed 217.5 pounds for that fight, of course, October 2nd, 1980. And, of course, he looked good physically, but he couldn't perform. He couldn't lift his hands. Of course, the day before that fight, Harold Smith went to Muhammad Ali in his dressing room, in his take the back, in his hotel room there at Caesar's Palace, and he's looking out over the arena because the arena was built outdoors on the tennis courts. So Ali's looking out over at the arena as they're building the arena the day before, the ring and that kind of good stuff. And Harold Smith went in there and said, listen, champ, you can't fight tomorrow. You're not ready to fight. You have no fight left in you. You got to call it off. And he says, I can't do it. There's too many people. Too many people's jobs on the line. In other words, if I pull out, a lot of people are going to get hurt because of me pulling out. I just can't do it. So he went through with the fight and got lit up like the White House Christmas tree. So Muhammad Ali, not a great day for him, but definitely the end of the career. Speaking of careers, let's talk about the great Salvador Sanchez. Of course, it was July 21st, 19, what was it? Of course, the last fight, take that back, 1982, the last fight with Azuma Nelson. Of course, wow, a long time ago. Of course, Azuma Nelson being stopped in the 15th round. He was a bit of a novice come in. I think he was like 13-0 with a draw. Take that back, he was 13-0 with like 6 or 7 knockouts, not considered the greatest guy in the world, some fighter from Guyana. Nobody would even know, right? But the bottom line is, of course, Nelson would stand fast in that fight, do well, be in contention in 15 rounds. He was still in the fight after the 15th or into the 15th round, but he was stopped. And, of course, the referee stopped that fight, referee Tony Perez, famous for not stopping a lot of fights, but the bottom line is he stopped that one at 149 of the 15th round. But the bottom line is at the end of the day, Azuma Nelson became a star later, but Salvador Sanchez, of course, would die in a car accident, but it was. I told the story many times, but you know, when you look back at the career of Salvador Sanchez, I'm not going to get into the death because you know, everybody knows, you know, not everybody knows, but when you go out, listen, when you're a young man, you have hormones flowing throughout your body, especially if you're a boxer, you're running and doing all this physical stuff and you're not drinking this and that. So you got a couple of outlets, and one of them happens to be your girlfriend, okay, or a girl. So Salvador Sanchez got up and snuck out of his training camp like at 1 o'clock in the morning and snuck over to this girl's house, spent a couple hours over there, overslept, and when he came back and he was coming back to his training camp because he didn't want to have his trainers catch him not being there. If they went down to the hut in which he stayed on the training camp and he wasn't there, they were going to have a problem with that because it would cause an issue. So he didn't want to have any issues with the training team, and he knew it wasn't really right for him to be out banging a girlfriend at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So he's on his way back. He's driving this Corvette that Don King bought him, of course, the year before when he beat Wilfredo Gomez in 1981, of course, becoming the best fighter pound for pound in boxing, because Gomez at that point in time was 32-0 with a draw and 32 knockouts. I mean, he was the king of all boxing, no doubt about that. I mean, he was the king, 32-0, had a draw in his first fight, and then ran off 32 knockouts in a row. That was the World Boxing Council 122-pound champion, Wilfredo Gomez, of course. And that day, he came in a 2.5-to-1 favorite against Salvador Sanchez. Sanchez went in there and cleaned his clock. But when you look at the career of Sanchez, I mean, who was this guy that beat him? I mean, that's just it. The guy, I mean, I sort of chuckle about that, but one guy beat him back in the day, and that guy really never made much of a role in the world of boxing. But, I mean, I was blown away by that. A guy by the name of Antonio Baquera, he ended up having about 25 fights, but he was 13-2 at the time. He won a 12-round split decision over Salvador Sanchez in 1977. That was the Mazatlan, of course. That was for the Mexican bantamweight championship, 118 pounds, the vacant title. Of course, Sanchez not winning that, but later on, of course, becoming the world featherweight champion, of course, and knocking Danny Lopez off the throne as being the WBC champion. He knocked him around the first fight, beat him worse in the second fight. The bottom line is that was a mismatch, no doubt about that. But that was Salvador Sanchez. And Roy Jones now says that Salvador Sanchez, he thinks, was the best fighter pound for pound in all of boxing. And I say maybe at that point in time, yes, he was. And, you know, maybe he was the king of all time. I mean, think about that. Of all time. The reason why I say of all time is that he wasn't. At that point, he wasn't. I mean, Azuma Nelson presented a great challenge for him, a bit of a rookie at that point in time. But we knew that later on he would become Hall of Fame material and win the championship not once but twice, but maybe three times. But at the end of the day, Sanchez just rode through opponents, rode through Danny Lopez. Of course, beat up on Ruben Castillo. I can't believe that Ruben Castillo went 15 rounds with him. I remember I was in line to spar Castillo at one point in time. Was it Castillo? I think it was Castillo out in L.A., and that didn't happen. But the bottom line is Ruben Castillo, of course, a big-mouth guy. He had the television job. He was 44-1 at that point in time. Ruben Castillo was when he challenged Salvador Sanchez in 1980. But at one point in time, he had a job with the L.A. Forum, and he was getting $2,000 to work 2 hours of television every 2 weeks. So he told them, guess what? I want $5,000. And they say, guess what? Screw you. He never got another television job in his entire life. Talk about being an idiot, huh? You know, I remember I vied for that job, and I remember the broadcast team told me, hey, man, ride on. We'll look forward to you in a couple weeks. And Dan Goosen's guy got the job. Why did Dan Goosen's guy get the job? Because Dan Goosen was connected with the forum. So it's all connections, no doubt about that. But, man, back in the day, Salvador Sanchez, of course, he beat up a guy named Pat Ford. He went 15 rounds with him, but he won a majority decision over Pat Ford. One judge thought it was even, Jose Escalante, of course. And then he took on Juan Laporte, and Juan Laporte was a formidable fighter. Roberto Castanon, not too much. Nicky Perez, and of course, it was a fight. Oh, 8-21-81. August 21st, 1981, of course, Wilfredo Gomez, as I said, 32-0-1, with 32 knockouts, taking on Salvador Sanchez, a once-beaten fighter. Of course, that once-beaten 12-round decision loss, he lost for the Maximum Bantamweight Championship. He never avenged that loss, but of course, he moved on, and the other guy moved nowhere. But the bottom line is, this fight was a battle of the little giants. It was in the sports pavilion at the Caesars Palace. Of course, it held about 4,000 or 5,000 people max. Every seat in the place was like a ringside seat, no doubt about that. The greatest arena I've ever seen boxing in. But Wilfredo Gomez was a 2.5-1 favorite. So we go to the weigh-in that morning. You go to the weigh-in that morning because they held weigh-ins on the same day of the fight, in the morning, about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. So at 8 o'clock in the morning, Salvador Sanchez steps on the scale less than 126 pounds. He makes the limit. But when Wilfredo Gomez gets on the scale, he weighs 130 pounds. Wait, we have a problem here. We have a 126-pound fight, and this guy weighs 130 pounds. Well, he doesn't look like he's going to be able to take off 4 pounds. Well, he never did. So after about an hour and a half, they sent him upstairs to try to lose the weight. He said, screw it. I'm not losing the weight. I'm just going to go down and fight at 130. If you don't want me to fight, there's no fight. So they were stuck with a dilemma. I'm talking about the WBC, Jose Suleiman, and promoter Don King. So they both decided to waive the weight, as did Salvador Sanchez. The fight took place, and of course, Sanchez lit him up like the White House Christmas tree. That was one of the most vicious beatings of all time. It stopped in the eighth round. Of course, Gomez had his moments in the first round. He landed a couple of good shots on Salvador Sanchez, but Sanchez just shook him off. Sanchez could take a punch like nobody else. So bottom line is, was he the best fighter pound for pound? Roy Jones thinks he was the best fighter ever. I don't know if he was the best fighter ever, but the bottom line is, he was a good fighter, no doubt about that. He beat Pal Caudill, Rocky Garcia, and of course, the last fight with Azuma Nelson before he died in 1982, as I told you about that in the car accident. Now, pound for pound, without a doubt, one of the greatest Mexican fighters of all time. It boils down to him and probably Julio Cesar Chavez. Of course, Chavez had over 100 fights, was in the ring for like almost 3 or 4 decades. Speaking of decades, somebody told me the other day that Roberto Duran fought 33 years of his life. Imagine that, boxing 33 years. Holy cow. And you know what? I'll give Duran props because Duran is still pretty sharp. I saw him a couple years ago in Panama. He is still pretty sharp, man. I kid you not. I mean, I'm not saying he could play chess or something like that, but Roberto Duran is still pretty sharp. All those fights he had, and he fought in so many decades, 33 years. That's fighting in 4 different decades. So the bottom line, of course, I think he was the greatest pound-for-pound fighter in the history of the game. So I would rate him above Salvador Sanchez. But I would have to say that Sanchez probably ranks in the top 5 as far as the greatest fighters in the history of boxing. Now, do I rank Ray Robinson up there? I think you sort of have to because he was the revolution. He was a revolution in boxing. He was like the revolutionary himself. He sort of transformed boxing. He made it from this thing where two guys stood and slugged it out and that kind of good stuff into an art. Of course, talking about Sugar Ray Robinson, of course, the former welterweight champion, went undefeated as a welterweight, stepped up to 160 pounds, of course, and would win the championship and then lose the championship and then win the championship. But some of those fights that, hey, Ray Robinson had at 160 pounds, I question as to whether they were fixed or not. And the reason why I say that is that he took pictures with Blinky Palermo and Frankie Carbo, and they were the mob's number 1 and 2 guys. I kid you not. Then when they said you had to lose a fight, you had to lose a fight. So when some of those fights that Ray Robinson lost, I think that maybe Frankie Carbo, and of course I'm talking about Frankie Carbo and the mob, were involved with that. Of course, Carbo ended in 1960 when it all came down, coming down on him when the Congressional Committee got together and said, you're fixing boxing, not anymore. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live World. But guess what? We've got the WBC nowadays. Oh, did I really say that?
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Every boy has an idol, and honestly, I'm so proud to say that Joe is my idol, and still is. It seems as though it was only yesterday, man, and we were back in Detroit down at Booster Center, and I was watching you go through the paces there. Boy, was I fascinated. He can always punch, Ralph.
Yeah, I heard that.
I'm telling you, I wanted to be so like this guy. But everything I learned about boxing, all of the good, clean habits and training hard and clean living, I honestly learned from Joe. And I say, this is another thing. You know, if it hadn't been for you, I just might not have been a fighter.
Prize fighting.
You're the greatest.
Sugar Ray Robinson, born Walker Smith Jr. Talking about the great Joe Louis. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Let's go inside Newman's Gym. Opened in 1927. I'm wearing the t-shirt right now. Of course, the green Newman shirt. Of course, it was originally owned by Billy Newman. Billy Newman was a bit of a fight manager, a promoter, that kind of good stuff. But the bottom line is he was a wise guy around the town. I was never able to hook him up with the mob, but he was the guy as far as boxing was concerned, of course. And he had some guys there in the Tenderloin. He put things together. But the gym, that when I started going to the boxing gym, I never had to pay. It was $25 a month, but I never had to pay. He didn't make kids pay. Kids didn't have to pay. That was sort of cool. So kids got to start in boxing without having to pay. Now I'm told that Paris Alexander told me the other day, we'll talk about Paris maybe a little bit later if I have the time, but Paris told me that gyms now are charging $250 for a boxing gym. $250. Good Lord, that's a lot of money. But the bottom line is, at one point in time, Jimmy Lester was the king of San Francisco. I'm going to go back to the king. Of course, the king, when I talk about the Bayview Bomber being in the Bayview district, of course, he was out from the Hunters Point area. And, of course, that's where he would live and die and do his thing. I'm talking about Jimmy Lester. Now, Jimmy and I were tight. In fact, at one point in time, we'll get into my police contact with him a little bit later. But at one point in time, I used to watch him fight. And my father used to watch him fight. My father would come and tell him to come home and tell me Jimmy Lester lost or Jimmy Lester won this and that. But Dad would come home and tell me, you know, about Jimmy Lester and how Jimmy Lester fought. So I sort of learned vicariously how Jimmy Lester fought through my father telling me after his fights, okay? So, but the bottom line is Jimmy Lester was undefeated. undefeated until he took on Denny Moore, who, of course, was challenged for the world title a little bit later. But that was, of course, back in 1965, and that way he lost his first fight. He would knock out guys like Florentino Fernandez, who was considered a hot shot at one point in time, up-and-down fighter, considered like the top-ranked contender at that point in time. But he knocked him out. Didn't do anything from that. Bottom line is he became an opponent. I mean, that's basically what Jimmy Lester was. He was an opponent. He went around the world. He lost. But at the end of the day, he was a damaged fighter. And when 1974, I believe, he was trying to make a comeback, 74, 75, maybe 76. He was trying to make a comeback, and I was just getting my start in the gym then, and it wasn't pretty. It just wasn't pretty, this guy trying to come back. So he quits boxing. He finally gets a job with the San Francisco Police Department. Of course, I would become an SF police officer, so that was interesting, having Jimmy Lester on the police department, but he wasn't on the police department per se. He was on the bus detail. In other words, he was a bus policeman, municipal railway. That's what we call our buses here in the city. Municipal railway policeman for the buses. So in other words, if you snuck on the bus, you acted a fool on the bus, Jimmy would like give you a ticket and that kind of stuff. Well, Jimmy took it a little bit too seriously. Jimmy was beating guys up on the buses, that kind of good stuff. So Jimmy had to get fired. So they took Jimmy's badge away, okay? So Jimmy sort of like, you know, became a bit of a, not a street urchin, but he had a place to live, but you would see him here and there, and he wasn't always the most well-kept guy in the entire world. And then one point in time, I was working as a cop. I guess it was about 1987, 88, somewhere like that, out in the Hunters Point area. And, of course, he lived out there in Hunters Point, as I mentioned, the Bayview Bomber. That was Bayview District. But there was an apartment complex called the Geneva Towers. And there were two towers side by side, and they were about 25 or 30 stories each. I kid you not, they were huge, huge buildings in the middle of the hood, okay? But the bottom line is, as a cop, I never took the elevators in there because one time I took the elevators and the guys turned off the power on me. So in other words, yeah, let me tell you, like, hey, the brothers had it down. Bailey, give them props, man. The cops are there. The cops are coming up like the 15th floor, and they turn off the power. And you're at their mercy.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No, it's not bad. Are you kidding? I never took the stairs. I always took the stairs after that, okay? 25 flights of stairs sometimes. But I remember guys telling me, I give up. They went after five or six floors. That was it. They weren't running no more. I ran up to the 13th, 14th floor. Anyway, the Geneva Towers as it was, but it was a big apartment complex. There was two of them side by side in the hood, and Jimmy's wife lived on, I think, the 14th floor. So I got a report one day that somebody was climbing up the side of the building. Say, what? And the dispatcher is trying to tell me this guy's climbing up the side of a building like Spider-Man. I said, what, he got plungers in his hand or something? Like, what are you talking about? She goes, no, he's climbing up the side of the building. Some lady's telling me he was on the fifth floor. She just called me back. He's on the eighth floor. I said, on the eighth floor or what? She's climbing up the side of the building. I said, okay. Ah. I go out there. It turns out it's Jimmy Lester. And he actually is climbing. He's scaling the side of this building. I kid you not. He started at the ground floor. He's up like about the 10th or 11th floor at this point in time. And he keeps moving in a decent manner, getting up higher and higher. And I'm freaking out because, you know, I mean, you know, anybody could fall from those levels. From that level, they'd be dead without a doubt. But Jimmy was intent on seeing his kids. I mean, he was damaged, brain damaged from boxing. I told you he couldn't put together a small math equation, anything like that. He just wasn't there without a doubt. He was gone from the sport of boxing, okay? But he's climbing up the side of this building, and I end up like getting up on the 13th or the 14th floor, and I sort of called him in. Jimmy, you got to come in. So Jimmy comes in, and, you know, I said to him, what's going on? He goes, hey, listen, man, I want to see my kids. I haven't seen my kids in 6 months. Well, it turns out it was like 6 days, but he didn't know 6 days from 6 months, okay? So the bottom line is, I said, what do you mean you ain't seen him in 6 months? I ain't seen my kids in 6 months, man. My ex-old lady won't let me see my kids. I said, okay, I'll try to iron this out, this and that. So I found out that he had just seen his kids a few days earlier, and that the kids talked about seeing him in the whole nine yards. So it was legit. He had seen his kids. He just didn't remember. He was climbing up the side of this building, punch drunk fighter, like trying to climb up the side of a building, like as I said, like Spider-Man. I kid you not. So when I pulled him in, about the 14th, the 15th floor, my lieutenant showed up at that point in time. His name was Lieutenant Gregory Corrales of the San Francisco Police Department. The Dirty Harry, the real Dirty Harry of the SFPD, without a doubt. Forget all that other hype. Greg Corrales was the real Dirty Harry. So I said, what do I do with him? I said, do I arrest him? And this way, I mean, these people want to press charges of trespassing and this kind of good stuff, the apartment owners of the building owners. And he says, no. He goes, here's $40. I said, well, what am I supposed to do with 40 bucks? He goes, give him 40 bucks and take him anywhere he wants to go. As long as he ain't drinking, don't worry about it. Take him anywhere he wants to go. So I think I took him downtown to a restaurant with 40 bucks, and Jimmy Lester went in and had some food. Of course, he would die a few years later. I would go to his funeral. That was a bit sad, but the bottom line is boxing damaged him without a doubt. Now, one last story I'll get to before we go, because I ain't got time to do them all. But the bottom line is Abel Santana. Let me tell you about Abel Santana. He was a decent amateur. He got spanked in the gym by me several times. The last time was a bit of a scene because Ben Williams was with Channel 5. He was a reporter, and he was down there to do a – they were doing this special on me for sportsmanship. So it was Pedro Fernandez, the sportsman that he was. You know, golly gee whiz, fine. Yeah, I wasn't a sportsman. But the bottom line is they came down there to do something about boxing and sportsmanship and me. So they're shooting this film, and me and Abel are sparring, and I hit Abel with a body shot, and he went down. So when he turned around, he went down. As I turned around, I looked at the TV camera, raised my hands like that, and walked towards the TV camera. And at the same time, Abel got up from behind and hit me in the balls from behind. Boom. I mean, he just uppercutted me in the nuts. I kid you not. So anyway, we ended up getting it on outside the gym. I took off the gloves. He took off the gloves. We took off the headgear, and we had a fight with hand wraps, and I broke some bones in his face. But Abel Santana, the creep that he was, ended up being 2-0 with two knockouts, and he got knocked out one time, one of those losses he had. But the bottom line is he was a creep. A stone-cold creep. I mean, even when I sparred him before he kicked me in the nuts, I was always wary of him. In fact, inside, you know, I would watch his elbows and that kind of stuff and watch him budding in the sand, make sure that he wore the full headgear because you never knew what this guy was going to do. I mean, he was totally unpredictable. He was a nut, a stone-cold nutcase. Anyway, bottom line is somebody shot him to death. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I kid you not. When I found out he died, there was no love lost here. I didn't mourn for him, this and that. I mean, we'll talk about a piece of work. A guy that was totally, most boxers are nice guys. I didn't get a chance to mention Paris Alexander. Of course, I saw Paris a couple weeks ago when I was doing surveillance in San Francisco, in Oakland, California. Of course, he had broken his neck in a motorcycle accident, a former featherweight at one point in time, fought the top-ranked the IBF contender back in the 80s and the 90s. At one point in time, he was a good fighter, the best gym fighter I ever saw, but he had a broken neck from a motorcycle accident. So when I saw him in Oakland a few weeks ago doing surveillance, I'm a PI. I couldn't stop him and say, hey, man, what's up there? But I went back and I saw him this week. So we spent some time with a flying lion this week, and we talked about Irwin Bungie. Irwin Bungie was his trainer, and Irwin Bungie disappeared with his Ford Bronco. Remember O.J. Simpson's Ford Bronco? Well, guess what? Irwin Bungie had a Ford Bronco, too, and it was white. And he and the Ford Bronco disappeared, and they were never, ever seen again. Then I find out later, I'm a cop. I'm supposed to know these things, right? Irwin Bungie was a cocaine distributor. Nothing a dealer. He was a distributor. He was dealing pounds. Dealing pounds in the gym with me. Shows you how sharp I was, huh? Kid you not, I don't care. I wasn't snitching him off. I didn't know anything about that. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, Abel Santana is dead. More power to him. You are tuned to Ring Talk. I don't celebrate deaths, but you celebrate that death. That guy was a bad, bad guy. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. On the other side of the break, I'll bring you back. We'll talk with Ray Leonard. Me and him, Ray, go back to 1989. I think we just got done training in West Palm Beach. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk.
I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible.
Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
This report is sponsored by After School Alliance. A million people are rallying for after school as part of the 24th annual Lights On After School, organized by the After School Alliance. The event shines a light on the many ways after school programs engage children and youth by making learning fun and providing educational and enriching activities. After school programs are especially important as students recover from the pandemic, but funding shortfalls have left nearly 25 million kids without the after school programs their parents want for them. Quality after school programs keep kids safe, inspire them to learn, and give parents peace of mind. Alliance Executive Director, Jody Grant.
Every day, after-school programs across our country help students discover their talents, build their confidence, and foster their creativity through enrichment and academic supports. As we continue to recover from the pandemic, it's essential that many more students and families have access to these programs. This year, 8,000 Lights On after-school events will focus on the benefits after-school programs provide.
Visit www.afterschoolalliance.org to learn more about Lights On After School.
Total Wireless has made the Totally Keep Up With You. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And for less than $30 a month, we make your phone your ride or die. Switch now and pick a free 5G phone with qualified plan purchase. And your fourth line at no additional cost. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank you, Pedro. You going to run tomorrow?
How are we running? You going to run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
Sunday. I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe.
All right.
Okay.
1989. Sugar Ray Leonard and I are training in West Palm Beach, Florida. I was training as well. Of course, I was having a good time down there. I spent 2 weeks with Ray, courtesy of his lawyer, Mike Trainer. Of course, Top Cat, that's what they called him. The bottom line is Mike Top Cat called all the shots in the Ray Leonard camp as far as the managerial duties were concerned. Of course, although Angelo Dundee was much of a manager and a trainer, but at the end of the day, Top Cat called the shots. Now, Ray Leonard and I are, of course, talking about different guys and different people and different aspects of his career. And what I want to focus on here, and you'll hear it in the interview, was at one point in time, he talks about representing a couple of fighters, Andrew Maynard and I think and maybe Anthony Hembrick. But the bottom line is he doesn't talk about the fighters being my fighters per se. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is that I had an issue with a white promoter this week, a lady, a female promoter, and she kept saying, my fighters, and I said, you know, it doesn't sound right. She goes, what do you mean it doesn't sound right? I said, it just doesn't sound right, and she didn't get it. She fought me on this every step of the way, man. At the end of the day, I'm right, I know what I'm saying, this, that I'm a woman, I stand up for myself, all that kind of goes, big deal, but they're not, they may be your kids, you can call them your children, call them whatever you want to call them, but they're not my fighters, per se. It's not like you own them. Anyway, bottom line is, let's go back in time. May 1989, Sugar Ray Leonard and I, 1989, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Ray, 19 years boxing now, Olympic gold medalist, 5 world titles. What more is there for you to attain?
Well, Pedro, for me, I just like to do what I want to do. You know, for me, boxing has been such an integral part of my life, opening doors, creating better avenues for me and other people. And as long as I still can do it, you know, I say, why not? I don't complain about getting up in the mornings to do road work. You've ran with me a number of times, and I enjoy the competition. This is a part of my life, and for as long as I can do it.
You're 33 years old, but because of your layoff and you were off for a couple of years, how old is Ray Leonard's body physically?
Well, you know, I never put an age on my body because I think once I do that, I limited myself to the duration of time I have left in the ring. I put no relevance to how old I am. I think it's just a matter of how I feel. I think it's a matter of what I exhibit in the ring and outside the ring. That pretty much equates my age.
The hunger is still there?
The hunger is always there. People fail to realize that I love to win. I love the challenge. I thrive on winning. I thrive on victory. And if that wasn't the case, I wouldn't be in here working out as hard as I do. I wouldn't be taking my body through rigorous workouts, training, road work, dealing with the media, the scrutiny of exploitation. I wouldn't deal with that.
Okay. if little Ray or Bobo, you've got two boys now. Ray, little Ray is not little anymore. He wears your clothes, or you wear his.
Well, I wear his. Well, you know, to be honest with you, I don't wear his clothes anymore. I think he's a large. I'm still a medium.
Okay, what if little Ray or Bobo wanted a box? Would you approve of that?
You know, that's a very interesting question. If he really wanted to, but I also would make him realize the comparison would be too much. You're talking about peer pressure for young people. That's an enormous amount of pressure because of comparison to his old man. I wouldn't want to see that happen. And thank God, Little Ray has his own mind. He's more musically inclined. He loves athletics. He more so wants to play basketball and football.
What about Bobo? He's quite a character.
If anything, Bobo, Jarrell, I don't know. He's very precocious. I think he has the ambition and the talent to be a politician.
Ray, if either of them had a damaged retina and had it repaired, how would you feel about letting them box again?
You know, Pedro, that is too hypothetical to even say because, you know, being a parent, naturally you fear the risk factor. But I think in order for my son to be happy, he has to do what he wants to do. If it's productive, you know, people say, well, Ray, it's inexplicable that you returned to the ring. You suffered an injury, a very serious injury. But I think we must appreciate medical technology, the advancement, arthroscopic surgery. You have a lot of people, a lot of athletes that suffer the same injury, football, baseball, soccer, every type of physical contact sport. But because of who I am, because of the individualism of my particular sport, I am pretty much singled out.
You told me before that you're an amateur ophthalmologist.
I think I am, because from personal experience, personal evaluation, I think being a spokesman, I think I've been able to understand the anatomy of retinal surgery.
In your own words, you've created your own destiny. You've through free agency. How did that start?
Well, I've watched great fighters in the past without naming them. And I've always said, you know, what happens afterwards? Because I've always hated the term boy, although a lot of people don't mean it the way they say it, but I think it's the tone of voice that you use, or my fighter. And, you know, and my fighter is boxing terminology of saying, you know, I represent this young man. But sometimes I have problems saying, that's my fighter. You know, that's who I represent. And I never wanted anyone to say, that's my fighter, because I'm no one fighter but my own.
Is Andrew Maynard your fighter?
Andrew Maynard is my client. He is my protege. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to stumble and say, my fighter. But I think it's what's from the heart that people are able to perceive what you really mean.
Okay, Maynard is an Olympic gold medalist. You've got another kid down here, a Canadian named Dan Sherry. He's looking pretty promising.
Well, Dan Sherry, you know, he's a young man that I also have high hopes. And there are people that say, well, these guys are just ordinary fighters. Well, with the exception of Andrew because of his Olympic exposure. But one thing about it, if anything, I prefer to have a young man that is self-motivated, that has self-discipline, that's productive, that's clean-cut, as opposed to having a guy that's world-beater. Because the guys that I have are very decent young men.
You've easily almost made $100 million in the ring. Where will it stop? You're taking it one fight at a time, am I right?
One fight at a time. You hit it right on the head. One fight at a time. People say, well, Ray don't know when to quit. His ego and his arrogance and this and that makes him continue. That's right. That's what makes me who I am. Because if you didn't have confidence in yourself, you can't make it in this world. Let it be business or athletics. You got to have some type of confidence.
Okay, let's talk about the rematch with the Hitman from Detroit, Thomas Hearns. We're about a week away now. How do you feel about this fight? This is the first time that you've fought in the guy again that you've already beaten.
I feel great. You know, I've been working on a variation of styles with variation of opponents and challengers. I hate calling them sparring partners sometimes, but the young men that I work with are fast, and I feel this way that they are so tenacious in so many rounds that if I can contend with them, I can contend with anybody. I'm looking forward to a big fight with Tommy Hearns. I am prepared for whatever he should do. I've worked on balance. I've worked on peripheral vision. I've worked on counterpunching. I worked on strong punches, body shots. You know, the other day, all body shots. One day, I worked on defense, offense. I'm ready for whatever he should do.
Okay, I watched it the other day. In case, when Hearns gets hurt, he has a habit of grabbing. I mean, like Hulk Hogan, headlocks, hammer locks, the works. I watched you physically push your sparring partners off. I mean, physically, you were rough.
Well, that would be the case, too, because I've watched him with James Kitchen, and the way he grabbed Kitchen, if anything, you know, Tommy Hearns held on for dear life. It was ugly, but it was survival. But I'm ready for whatever he should do.
Okay, Tommy says that your shot, he says that your shot is the biggest fight in the history of boxing, a battle between two shot warriors.
I don't necessarily feel that I'm shot, and I don't particularly agree that Tommy's shot. I think Tommy's had some problems in the past and in his previous performances, but total shot, no. He still wins. He's perseverance.
So how does Ray Leonard see the fight? June 12th, the bell's about to ring, Ray.
It depends on how Tommy approaches the fight. You know, speculations that he's going to try to outbox me, he can't do that. I don't care how much he rides a bicycle. As far as trying to knock me out with one punch, I've been hit by a light heavyweight, you know, so the punch is not a factor. If anything, if you had asked me this question 3.5 months ago and I wasn't training, then I have a problem. I don't have a problem with Tommy Hearns.
You told me to tell Tommy, I quoted you in Flash magazine, is knocking me out is not a reality.
It's not a reality. You know, Tommy Hearns, he's living this world that he's still the hitman. He should get away from that nickname. That nickname doesn't fit anymore.
The last couple of fights, he's resembled the Hurt Man.
Well, he's been more so on the receiving end of the pitcher now. So if anything, I'm going there to win. I don't care what happens, I'm going there to win.
Okay, Ray, let's talk about you. Who's your arch enemy, Roberto Duran? He's still around.
He's not my arch enemy. You know, he's not.
Ray, you haven't talked to Duran lately.
To be honest with you, I hate this. I can't say it on television. No, I don't mean. We have verbal confrontations and we say things about each other. I think that's the nature of the sport. But there is no direct animosity towards Duran. I respect Duran from what he's achieved in boxing because naturally he's contributed to the sport of boxing and he's brought more attention. If anything, if we should meet, the best man is going to win.
Did he cheat you out of your just desserts when he quit on you in the eighth round?
I don't think he cheated me out of anything. I don't know why people feel that way. If anything, he cheated himself out of being claimed the greatest. Okay.
Duran, Leonard, Nunn, I mean, there's a chance you're going to fight all these guys. First of all, let's talk about Michael Nunn. We had that confrontation that Pedro instigated in Las Vegas when we were out there on the floor, and I said you came off tonight. You were perceived on HBO as being fearful of Michael Nunn. Let's get the record straight. Are you scared of Michael Nunn?
When you asked me, Pedro, I was on the dance floor at Botany's. I was dancing. I didn't think about Michael Nunn. But if anything, I think Michael Nunn is really a great fighter and a great champ. He represents the championship very well. He's not a great fighter yet. That's too premature. Because just tell you how people feel. All of a sudden now, Michael Nunn was a guy that couldn't pack a punch, a guy that was a boring fighter. All of a sudden now, he knocks out Colin Bay. He the greatest thing since mom's apple pie. I mean, they should really stick to what they're saying. Before I became great, or if they consider me great, I had to beat Hearns, Duran, Hagler. I don't believe in greatness. There was only a few great fighters. That was Ali, Sugar Ray Robinson, Joe Louis, and Rocky Marciano.
Okay. Any closing comments?
I can't wait to June 12th.
Good enough, sir. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Pedro. You gonna run tomorrow?
I'll be running. You gonna run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
Sunday. I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe.
All right.
Okay.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
The greatest athlete in the history of boxing, without a doubt. I kid you not, when I ran with him, I was like, you know, neck and neck with him most of the ways. And then at one point in time, they say, click, they hit a horn or something like that. And he took off and he did a sprint. And he sprinted like the last 3/4 of a mile. I kid you not, he looked like a deer in the headlights as far as I was concerned. That's how far ahead he was. In fact, the van that was, you know, the van, I think Roger Leonard, his brother, was driving their van. The van that was covering us during our road work, they left me. They went up there with Ray. I was like a mile. I couldn't see the van anymore, let alone Ray. But that's how quick he was, the best fighter pound for pound in the history of the welterweight division, without a doubt in my mind, and that includes Ray Robinson. Why do I say that? Because I think Ray Robinson beat a bunch of guys like Bailey and me. In other words, just a bunch of guys, average guys, not old guys, guys that weren't really world-class per se, not by today's standards anyway. And Ray Leonard beat guys like Roberto Duran and Tommy Hearns, of course, had to draw with Tommy the second time around. This June 1989 fight was a 12-round draw, which
Leonard admitted later that he lost that fight. But, of course, he beat Roberto Duran in 2 out of 3 fights. Actually, they had the one fight, the great fight in June of 1980. Of course, that was a fight, I think, that made Ray Leonard a fighter. It just did. It was the greatest 15 rounds I think I've ever seen in boxing. It went 15 total rounds. Ray Leonard, of course, lost a unanimous, not across the board, but only by a couple of points. And it was, without a doubt, one of the greatest fights of all time, the greatest fight of 1980, without a doubt. But I thought that cemented Ray Leonard as far as his greatness was concerned. And then later on, of course, he would win championship and beat Marvin Hagler back in 1987. Of course, that was really his crown, beating Hagler, of course, the World Middleweight Championship, August of 1987, of course, outdoors on the tennis courts in Caesars Palace, where a lot of the big fights are. But at the end of the day, Ray Leonard proved that he was better than Marvin Hagler. But was it all about age? No, it's about timing. And Ray Leonard pulled it off at the right time. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of 2 or 3 pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA. The only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. That's 800-211-6008.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I went to penitentiary. Gene Wilder, I did a movie. I went to, not me personally, I mean, I went to do a film in penitentiary. I was up there 6 weeks, Arizona State Penitentiary. It was something. Oh, you're applauding for that? Arizona State Penitentiary, real popular. Oh, man, it was strange because it's like 80% black people. And what's strange about that is that there are no black people in Arizona.
Honest to God truth, they harassed me. Went down one time down there. The Capitol Police pulled guns on me. I kid you not, in front of, I was doing an informational picket line on boxing corruption and corruption in the city council in front of the state capitol down there, and the cops came up on me with guns. Bottom line is, it wasn't pretty. You were tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Fighter of the Week. Wow. You got to give Lewis Body some credit, folks. He knocked out Ashton Silva. He had lost every second of every round. I mean, it was every second. He didn't land a significant punch, and yet he catches Silva at the end of this fight with two or three punches, and boom, it's all out. It's all over. Bottom line is, wow, that was a knockout of the year, without a doubt, and maybe one of the greatest knockouts in the history of the game. Now, Oscar De La Hoya's got his clapback Thursday. That's an immediate hit on YouTube. Of course, Tommy D talked about that. It's working and rolling. It's working and rocking and rolling for him. And you got to give Amanda Serrano a whole lot of class. I mean, she stepped to the 140. She beat a big mouth girl and was once beaten Stevie Morgan, 14-1 with 13 knockouts. See, obviously, it looked like she could punch coming in, but Amanda Serrano just beat the snot out of her. It wasn't. She should have been arrested for domestic violence. She beat her down so bad. Jake Paul, of course, knocked out Mike Perry in six rounds. Mike Perry couldn't spell fight if you gave him all the letters and put him on a piece of paper. So he should be arrested for impersonating any type of fighter, let alone a bare-knuckle fighter. But Mike Tyson, of course, is supposedly in the future of Jake Paul. That's going to take place in November down there at Jerry Jones' stadium in Dallas, Cowboys Stadium, of course, in Dallas, Texas. Bottom line is, that fight's already sold out. Wow. Of course, Jorge Linares, remember him? He sort of rocked Devin Haney a few years ago in a fight. Of course, he says Gervonta Davis is going to knock out both Vasily Lomachenko and Shakur Stevenson. Stevenson, of course, the reluctant WBC champion to fight. And Vasily Lomachenko, the IBF champion, who needs more money. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I can't do this without the impeccable one. I want to thank Bailey Peck for him doing his thing here each and every Sunday. Until next time, chin up. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down, but most importantly, keep your butt off the canvas of life. This is Ring Talk, live on Sports Byline.
I got to make it right for everyone concerned.